What up, everybody? Welcome into Locked On Warriors. I am your host, Charles T. Hamilton. Got co-host Wes Goldberg joining us in just a minute from Portland. The Dubs lose a tough one in Portland, but in a season that is dedicated to development and maybe losing some games, this is a loss that you can live with. This was an encouraging loss, and there might even be some moral victories, as much as I hate that term. But the Warriors played well enough tonight to potentially win and still ended up losing. I also want to talk about the center position and how it has progressed and some interesting rotational moves from Steve Kerr in last night's game against the Trailblazers. That's all coming up next here on Locked On Warriors on the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
You are Locked On Warriors, your daily Golden State Warriors podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What up, everybody? Welcome into Locked On Warriors. It's your boy, Charles T. Hamilton. Wes Goldberg joining us from Portland in just a minute. But again, the Dubs lose a tough one to the Portland Trailblazers in Portland, but it, again, was an encouraging loss. They played well, and I know you guys are out there. It doesn't matter wins and losses. Doesn't matter. No excuses, and there are no excuses. And the trouble is recalibrating your expectations for a season like this, where a loss against Portland where you play well is a good sign. Would I rather them win? Yeah, definitely. But the fact is, they played well, and a team like this can play well against a good team like Portland that has one superstar and another star and still lose, and that's what happened. Steve Kerr had some interesting rotational moves tonight that I want to talk about. I want to talk about the game, and I want to talk about the center position that's really coming together as of late, and we're going to do all that in just 1 minute. But first, if you are a Spotify listener, use Spotify Wrapped to show us your top Locked On podcast of the year. Take a screenshot and tag us at Locked On Live or at CTH415, my Twitter account, or at WC Goldberg, Wes's Twitter account, and we will share and retweet. Wes, you, of course, were at this game in Portland, which, as much as I hate moral victories and stuff like that, you just have to recalibrate in a season like this and have to look at it as an encouraging loss and somewhat of a moral victory going into this next game against New Orleans. That's the best way to look at a hard-fought loss like this, I guess.
That's literally what I wrote in my recap was, this is a season with way more moral victories than actual victories. And this one felt like one of the moralist moral victories that they've had in the way that, they kind of finally – it seemed like something clicked tonight. I know they lost. Big deal. Whatever. Just not even talk about it. Something clicked tonight. The ball movement was there. They tied their season low for turnovers in the game. They exceeded their season high for three-pointers made. They assisted on nearly half of their made field goals. The ball movement was crisp. Everything looked like it sort of looked like this weird Warriors light version of what this team was last season. And they felt that. Steve Kerr was very positive after the game, obviously, talking about how he liked the execution, he liked the ball movement, he liked the effort and everything like that. And that's the kind of thing that they need to do. And, at the end of the game, Damian Lillard and CJ McCollum combined for 61 points. Yeah. Those are elite guys. Those are elite guards, all-star caliber players. Damian Lillard is an MVP caliber player. The Warriors aren't anything close to that. So I think that's sort of what did them in at the end. But if you lay this groundwork now for when Steph and Clay get back and they do have that talent, well, then you've really got something at that point.
Exactly. I you mentioned something clicked. We saw some of that two-man game between Draymond and D'Angelo Russell that we see between Draymond and Steph, where just quick dribble handoff, get a little space, knock down a three. We saw some of the two-man game between D'Angelo Russell and Willie Cauley-Stein, who might have had his best game of the year. There was just something different about the feel and the vibe of tonight's game. And, it felt, you said it already, like something clicked, like they're starting to understand what Steve Kerr wants, you know, as far as they what they do offensively and defensively. Now, it did help that they were playing Portland and, you know, they're not a great defensive team. We're able to get on the boards and stuff like that, but who cares? You know, they're still a playoff caliber right. team, and Warriors being one of the worst teams in the league, you'll take it whenever you can get it. There was some inefficiency at the end. D'Angelo Russell did have a great first half, second half, not so great, but a guy like Glenn Robinson going 5 of 7 from three. I mean, that is huge. Alec Burks, his career tied his career high in threes. I think he was 4 of 9.
Yeah,
that was big. It was just a vibe. I mean, something felt different. And yeah, they let it go towards the end. And part of that is the fact that they don't have the closers, you know, quote unquote, of Steph and Clay. You want D'Angelo to be able to do that, but he wasn't able to tonight. But it was still just a look. It wasn't the Kings game. I'll tell you that. I feel a lot better about this loss than I do about the Kings loss. That's for damn sure.
Well, they commit 20 turnovers against Sacramento, and they just do 8. You know, less than half of what they did in this night. So obviously that was a point that Steve Kerr made between those two games, right? Yeah. You talk about them figuring it out too. I mean, the D'Angelo Russell was really fine. Partnership seems to be really taking off. I was looking it up after the game. Willie Cauley-Stein has been assisted by D'Angelo Russell in 21 of his 8 field goals, which leads all other Warriors. 5 of those have come in the last 3 games. So it doesn't sound like a lot, but if you think about it from like a percentage standpoint, that's quite a bit. So it does feel like that two-man game is starting to ramp up into what we kind of expected it to be. I mean, we kept talking about Willie Cauley-Stein and D'Angelo Russell in the preseason as something that could be sort of a foundational part of the offense, and it really wasn't that for quite a long time. I think injuries had a lot to play into that, but lately it seems to be working. D'Angelo Russell found him on one like long kick ahead from behind half court, and they had like this nice little drop pass to him on the move, and so they're starting to figure out the way each other moves, the pace that they both play at, and things like that. And I think that could be a big part of what they're doing moving forward. So you have that two-man game in addition to just the swing offense that Steve Kerr likes kind of starting to take shape here. Mm-hmm. And again, it's not about winning games, but it's just sort of about seeing something that resembles what the Warriors want to be at some point. And they're starting to get there. Maybe.
Yes. Yeah. Let's hedge our bets here. Especially maybe. Because there was a couple games ago where it felt like, you know, we saw the progress that Steve Kerr kind of wanted, and then they took a step back, but without players, you know, they left the game healthy as far as we can tell. So without there being player movement within the next couple games, they can continue to build on this, hopefully. The player movement that would disrupt whatever progress they've been able to make. One of the problems tonight was, you know, they were just so inefficient inside the arc. They shot 42% from three. We're shooting really well from three, and they shot 38% from two. Alec Burks went 6 of 20, but was 4 of 9 from three. D'Angelo Russell, 9 of 23, but 5 of 12 from three. It's just too bad. It's just one of those nights where you get a good night from three and you end up wasting it by not shooting well enough from two. But even with that being said, again, good night for them. I thought defensively they were solid on Damian Lillard until the end, and you know that's understandable. He's going to go off. He's a superstar.
Well, the other thing that they got better defensively as the game went on. In the first quarter, the Trailblazers shot 60% overall. By the end of the game, they had shot like 42% or something near that by the end of the game. So that dramatically dropped off. And it feels like this team is starting to – like Steve Kerr is always going to give them like halftime adjustments, right? Like that's always going to happen. But it sounds like they're finally like hearing the halftime adjustments and then being able to download them and process them and then execute them on the floor. That is another kind of part of the progress. I mean, that's again kind of a sign of the old Warriors, right? Is, you know, it could get a little sloppy and clunky in the first quarter when they don't really care, when they were a super team. Yeah. But the defense gained strength as the game went on, and it kind of felt like that tonight. I mean, CJ McCollum scored 10 points in the fourth quarter. That's unfortunate, but when you only have like one plus positive perimeter defender, somebody's going to shake loose, and it just happened to be CJ McCollum. Like, at least it wasn't Damian Lillard. And you know that the message to this team was, don't let Damian get hot. And they didn't, and CJ did. And that's just going to happen when you're playing with that roster. But, like, had Klay Thompson also been out there, well, all of a sudden you've got another plus defender to put on Klay Thompson, and they probably win this game easily. And so that's sort of what you got to look at is like the bigger picture of, all right, are the fundamentals in place? Is the depth in place now? When Steph and Clay come back, they'll have the closer with Steph. They'll have the two-way player with Clay. And all of a sudden, like all of these close losses that we keep talking about that end up that result in moral victories will actually be real victories.
No, definitely. Coming back from injury tonight, Eric Paschal, he was fine. Went 5 of 10 from the field, 11 points, 4 rebounds, 2 assists, 1 steal. So good to get him back into the fold. He did come off the bench. Went with the starting lineup that we kind of predicted of D'Angelo Russell, Glenn Robinson, D-Lee, Draymond, and Willie Cauley-Stein. And that, you know, look, it has its deficiencies, but that's a pretty good-sized lineup, you know, 1 through 5. And they were able to defend pretty well tonight. I wonder if that's something he'll continue to go with even as Paschal continues to get healthier and, you know, back to what he was. So it'll be interesting to see how Paschal, he handles the lineups coming up.
Paschal was a big part of that second quarter run that they had. I think him and D'Angelo combined for like, 18 points or something in the second quarter, something to that effect. But to the lineups, it was interesting what Steve Kerr was doing. He basically had only one minus defender on the floor at all times during the game, for the most part. Whether it was usually either D'Angelo Russell or Alec Burks. He kind of staggered those two minutes-wise, again, for the most part. There was times where they were on the court together. Jordan Poole was out there, and he had two negative defenders. But that, I think, was his strategy. So you look at the starting lineup that you just talked about, just one minus defender in D'Angelo Russell, who's actually been not as bad as you'd think defensively this season. But overall, I think that was his strategy. I think it's a good one going forward.
Definitely. The center position has played pretty well so far. I feel like they're kind of hitting a sweet spot, and they've all kind of understood their roles recently. I do want to talk about that. And actually, one center who even played tonight, which was a little interesting, I guess is the best way to put it. And we're going to do that coming up in just a minute. Wes, so there have been injuries all year, and Kevon Looney was one of them. You know, missed most of training camp. He had the neuropathic hip, whatever it is. I know you have the correct term for it. Thank you. Yeah, you know, I know my stuff. But he came back a couple games ago, but oddly enough, tonight was a DNP coach's decision. And I just did Steve Kerr shed any light on that after the game as to why Kevon Looney didn't get any run tonight?
Yeah, I mean, he basically said he was going to try to work him in for a few minutes, but given that they were actually in the game, I'm paraphrasing here, but given that they were actually in the game, he decided not to put him in the game. He's really, really struggled to get in playing shape. It's not just the neuropathic condition that, like, sat him out for 20 games. He had that chest injury in the NBA Finals. He basically played 11 minutes of NBA basketball in like a 6-month span. It's really, really hard to get back to NBA type conditioning when you're barely playing, when you're just dealing with injury after injury, and then like the last injury you're dealing with is something as complicated and weird as a neuropathic condition where like we can't even say the thing the right way. So it's that complicated. So it's understandable for him to be in the situation he is. You add that to the fact that they're kind of asking him to play power forward sometimes,
sure,
which is not his position, and I don't think that's where he should be playing in the first place, but they're having him play there. And then having to get used to, oh, wait, Steph and Clay and Kevin Durant and Andre Iguodala aren't out on the floor with me? That's weird. So like, you're just adding all of these layers and adjustments that he's got to make, and no wonder he doesn't look good. I mean, he's averaging like 2 points a game, 2 rebounds per game. He's shooting 30% overall. I mean, he's been legitimately awful, but it's understandable. Yeah. And so I think if you're Steve Kerr, you just say, you know what, we've got a chance to win a game. It's a rare chance to win a game. I can't afford to put him out there. And I think we're going to see this going forward. He's going to be limiting his minutes. He's probably going to be running them hard in scrimmages, trying to amp up his conditioning behind the scenes so that eventually he could be a positive contributor on the court.
Yeah, and no, it makes perfect sense. And I actually kind of agree with it for a guy who's had the injuries that he's had. It was just weird because it usually gets kind of announced beforehand or mentioned beforehand that, you know, he might not play tonight, or, you know, might only get a few minutes. So it was just odd to see him active but not playing. But trust me, I think that's the way to go, especially, like I've said and going to continue to say this entire year, in a season like this. Take advantage of the time you have to make sure he's healthy and good to go when the games actually matter. So I'm all for it. Just was, you know, kind of odd to see.
That's the other part of it, is that it's similar to the Draymond Green situation, where they're going to maintain, they're going to monitor his minutes and his availability generally. And it's the same thing with Kevon Looney. They just signed him to a 3-year, $15 million contract. So they're not going to wear this guy out for no good reason. They know what Kevon is when he's healthy. They're happy with who Kevon is when he's healthy. So you just go get him healthy. That's the plan. Go get him healthy and then see what the guys like Marquise Chris and Amari Spellman can do.
One more rotational thing, and I doubt Steve Kerr mentioned it, but starting the fourth quarter in a close game, I see Jordan Poole on the floor, and I'm just kind of like, what's going on? He wasn't terrible or anything in those minutes. He didn't hurt them, but it was just kind of odd to see in that moment. I doubt he talked about it, but, you know, shot in the dark. Did he mention as to why he was in there late in the game?
No, but you know who would have been great in that situation? Kai Bowman, right? Yep. It's like this is the reason that this team wants Kai Bowman off of this two-way contract. Like, they would, if you could have Kai Bowman in there instead of Jordan Poole. I mean, I don't know if they win the game because of that, but it's better. Definitely a better look. Like, I was actually shocked to see Jordan Poole in there. He was at the end of the third quarter and the start of the fourth quarter. I actually didn't think that we'd see Jordan Poole in the second half. I thought that Steve Kerr had found the guys that were quote unquote on in that game. And Jordan Poole definitely was not one of them. And then to see him out there in the second half was a little jarring and a little questionable. But I guess when you don't have Kai Bowman and you've got to sort of judge the minutes that you got, I don't know. I don't know if Steve Kerr would have went back and changed anything. Again, I don't know if it actually would change the outcome of the game. But it goes to show how important Kai Bowman is to this team and why they want to get him off this two-way.
Well, it was just odd because, you know, Jordan Poole's been getting DNPs without Kai Bowman there anyway. So it was just, you know, Steve Kerr does certain things, you know, for the mental aspect of, you know, put you in a tight game kind of deal. And I'm sure that was probably part of it. But still, it was just odd to see after, you know, what we thought was the plan of DNPs to Santa Cruz. And then he's in a close game. But again, I don't think he hurt them that bad in those minutes. It was just jarring. But you mentioned Marquise Chris and Amari Spellman and some of the centers playing in place of Kevon Looney, seeing what they got. I think they're really hitting a good stride with Willie Cauley-Stein coming into his own. We talked about the fact that D'Angelo Russell returning would probably help Willie Cauley-Stein the most. And we've seen him put together a couple of solid games. But the one I want to talk about, man, is Marquise Chris, because it's, you know, great story, blah, 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 non-guaranteed, made the team. But I don't remember him doing the things that he's doing with the Warriors in Cleveland or Phoenix or Houston or whatever other teams he played for in his short career. Like, he has been a major surprise to me.
Yeah, he didn't do those things in those other places. I mean, D'Angelo Russell today called him a late bloomer, basically just saying, like, he kind of has figured things out. And I don't know that it's just because he's finally with, like, a stable organization. I mean, we're talking about Phoenix and Cleveland, right? Yeah. Like, that's where – like, that's tough, man. Like, it's tough to start your career in those places. And then you get to go to a place like Golden State, professional organization, championship culture, pedigree, and that helps. So I think that has helped him. I think just kind of going through a couple different teams, a couple different experiences has helped him. He's been phenomenal for them, and he looks like an actual piece for them.
Yeah, as in, like, a 2021 piece, you know, someone they would want to keep around. I thought he was going to be nice in Houston. I thought he'd be a solid backup to Capella, and that just did not work out. And the flyer they took on him has paid off, which is awesome, because also seeing a top 10 guy with, you know, visible talent, like, it's there. It you can see it. It's like, you might as well see what the guy's got. And it looks like it's going to pay off. Willie Cauley-Stein, as I mentioned, playing better. Amari Spellman obviously has played well as well. One of the things that I'm really liking about these young guys is just the way they rebound. You know, none of them are dominant, but when you look at the offensive rebounding rate for Spellman and for Kevon Looney when he returns, you put them on the floor with guys like Clay and Steph when those extra possessions are going to matter that much more, or they'll be able to cash in on those extra possessions that much easier. Like, that's huge. And that could be a major weapon moving forward if, again, Kevon Looney can get healthy and, you know, get on the floor.
Yeah, it's funny, too, because, like, their offensive rebounding numbers, like the raw numbers, would probably go down when Steph and Klay come back because they're going to make so many more shots. But you're right. Like, you have those guys creating extra possessions with Klay and Steph on the court. So they're creating extra possessions. They're getting offensive rebound, and then they're kicking out not to Glenn Robinson. They're not kicking out to Jordan Poole. They're going to be kicking out to Steph and Klay. Are you kidding me? It's going to be incredibly impactful. And their offensive rebounding percentage is crazy. I think they're top 10 in the league. I think they're like 6 or something. Don't quote me on that. But they're very, very high up in the league. And the Warriors this season are not very high up in the league in any sort of ranking, in any sort of statistical category. But in offensive rebounding, they're killing it. And probably, again, it's because they miss so many shots. But from just a raw percentage, I think it's going to be a boon for them next season.
Hey, don't forget free throw percentage, okay? They're one of the top teams in free throw percentage, which actually came to bite them in the ass tonight. They did not shoot very well from the line, which also hurt them against Portland. But you know what? It's fine. We'll live with it. We'll live with the loss to a team like Portland in that fashion. Wes, I mean, anything you want to plug or spit here before we sign off?
No, I think we pretty much covered all of it.
Check out Wes's work, mercurynews.com, or on his Twitter page, WC Goldberg. I am at CTH415. We'll be back with you tomorrow with another episode of Locked On Warriors on the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
You are Locked On Warriors, your daily podcast on the Golden State Warriors, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.